I'd like to thank the choir for that special number. And if you listen carefully, and if you really know the Lord, I believe, I know I can say that His love does grow sweeter each day. I mean, you just don't know what it is until you experience it. Trust that tonight, someone who has never experienced it will experience the love of God. Thank Brother Tony, Lane, Sister Patty, and we're happy to call on the Brother Gertz Roberts at this time for the message the Lord has given to him.
Good evening. It's a privilege to be here with all of you this evening. See so many of you out, especially at this time of the year. When I was talking with Brother Roddy earlier when we discussed coming, and he said, well, you know, it's August, and there's a holiday there, and prophecy season opens, and so our numbers will be down. We have a tremendous number tonight. Thank God. You're all here. We'd have a full house if everybody was here. So good to see you. My wife and I are happy to be with you, I'll tell you that. We've been looking forward to this for quite some time. This is our second trip here this year. We were here earlier down at the Methodist Church, and we look forward to coming and spending a couple of weeks with you. So we'll be here, God willing, through the 14th, I think it is, or the 15th. We trust that our time spent here will be a blessing to all of us. It's my desire that God will speak to our hearts. That's the purpose I'm here, to tell others of the love of God. I know what God has done in my life. I've experienced this down through the years. I've seen what God has done in others' lives. I know what He can do in your life. And so this evening I pray that as the word will go forth, that if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you tonight, before you leave this building, might know the love of God that I know and that so many others in this building know. Just before we open the Word this evening, I'm going to look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege this evening that we can stand and proclaim the love of God. For we know what the love of God has meant in our lives, and we know what it has meant in the lives of many others, even in this building tonight. But perhaps, Father, there are those here who have not experienced the love of God. They have not experienced the peace that passes all understanding. They are sitting here this evening with no hope in their hearts. Father, we pray that somehow, some way, as the word is spoken, that it may be taken and used by the Holy Spirit to bring forth fruit for your honor and your glory. We commit it to you, Lord. It's not our word, it's your word. And we're reminded from it that it will not return unto you void, but it will bring forth that which it is set out to do. So we commit it into your hands this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have three portions of scripture that I'd like to share with you. The first one is found in Luke chapter 12. And verse 39 and 40. And this is Jesus himself speaking. He said, and this know, that if the goodman or the owner of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have allowed his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Then we want to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some man count slackness. But he is long-suffering to us, Lord, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And then another short portion in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. For yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Perhaps by now you know what I'm going to speak on this evening. I want to speak on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a subject that, as far as I am concerned, has been neglected far too long. I've listened at many ministers. I've been to many church services. And it's not very often that we hear a message preached on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we've allowed ourselves to sort of get into a place in life where we've heard it so many times that it doesn't bother us or have any real meaning any longer. This is not so, my friends. If you would recall back in the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, the Lord Jesus Christ was standing on the Mount of Olives with his disciples after he had risen from the dead. And as he was taken up into the clouds, the scripture says, behold, there were two men in white apparel standing by his side. And these two men gave to those disciples of that day. And the message still rings loud and clear to you and I today. And they said these words, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? For this same Jesus, and I like that, he's not going to send an archangel. He's not going to send somebody that's not qualified to take you and I back home. But he is coming back personally. This same Jesus that you have seen taken up into the heavens shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go. That is a promise, my friends. And that is a promise that is yet to be fulfilled. I've heard it has been said. I've heard that there are those that have believed what other men have written, that Jesus came back in the 1800s and he's not coming again. Do you know, man will feed you all sorts of theories in life to take your minds off the real thing. But I want to assure you this evening, my friends, on the authority of the Word of God, on the verses of Scripture that I have, and God's Word does not lie. This is the truth. This is God. In John 1:1, John writing says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we need to realize, my friends, that when we hold this book in our hands, we are holding, in effect, the very presence of God. His Word, he cannot lie. And so he says to us, he's coming back. He says, I am coming again. Who is he coming for? He's coming back for those that love him. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for believers in Jesus Christ who made a commitment in their hearts and lives to trust him. When is he coming back? That is the question. When is he coming back? The scripture says in Matthew 24 and 36, but of that day and of that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels in heaven, but God himself. No one knows but God. Not the angels in heaven. Not even the Son. But God himself is the only one. And we sing a song sometimes that says, it is a secret known only to him. It's a secret known only to God. But you can rest assured, my friends, that one day that secret would become a reality. God has set a specific time when this will take place. And I want to tell you this, my friends, this evening, as I see what is taking place in our world in which we live, what is happening around us, I personally believe that it could happen at any time. All of the things that I see in my Bible have come into place. There is but one thing left, and that is the return of Jesus Christ. I have talked with people that have said, well, we need this to fall into place so that that can happen, so that the other thing can happen, and then Jesus will come. We're not dealing with men. We're not dealing with theories in life. We're dealing with God. We're dealing with the one that made the heavens and the earth. We're dealing with the one that threw the stars out there, the sun and the moon. We're dealing with God. And you can rest assured that what He says will come to pass. Not when men predict it will happen. We had a lot of that stuff going around, and I'm sure that you had a lot of it during the end of the year. As we talked about the Y2K bug. Everybody was upset. They spent millions of dollars correcting systems, but they did not believe in themselves, because if you followed it, and I did, just to see what would happen. Everywhere that that dateline passed the midnight hour, one of the major news stations of the United States was there. They doubted themselves. They believed that something was going to happen, and a lot of God's people did. A lot of God's people believed that at the stroke of midnight on December the 31st, 1999, that Jesus would come. What does the scripture say? No man knoweth the hour. And I say to you tonight, do not ever let anyone feed you a line that they know the day and the time that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. They don't. The scripture says so, and they do not know. But He will return. It might be at midnight, while we're fast asleep. It might be because of the time differential around the world, 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness, that there will be those that will be working and out in the bright sunshine. But these are insignificant factors. What is urgent and what should be the top priority in our lives, and particularly if you don't know Christ as your Savior, is that you're ready for that day and that hour. Matthew 24, verse 44 says, therefore. And when you see that word therefore in the Bible, find out what it's there for. He says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is going to come. In such an hour as you think not. I want you to keep that in your mind. I'll come back to that in a little while. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come. In Luke 12, the portion of scripture that I read to you, the Lord Jesus Himself said, He compared His return to that of a thief. Now, I trust you don't have too much of that here in Spanish Wells. I really don't know. But I know we have our share of it in Abaco. It's getting beyond and ridiculous what is happening. I'm sure you hear it. You read of it in your papers. But Jesus compared Himself to a thief. And He says that a thief will break into your house. He will give you no advance notice. He takes what He wants, and He leaves unnoticed. Isn't this so? A thief will never pick up his telephone and call you and say, Brother so-and-so, I'm breaking in at 2 o'clock in the morning. Would you just sleep? Leave the doors open. I'll get what I want and leave. You know any thief that has ever done that in your life, please let me know. I've never heard of one. They will come at the moment they're least expected. They'll come either when you're asleep or when you're not at home. They will take your valuable possessions and they will leave unnoticed. Gone. Jesus said, that's exactly what's going to happen when I come. I'm going to come as a thief in the night. I'm not going to give you any advance notice. We've had all of the advance notice that we need, and we're getting more of it right now. The advance notice that Jesus Christ is coming, and that's all that we need to be concerned with. He's coming. Get ready. Get ready. Be prepared. I know that there are those that will say, and I've heard it myself ever since I was a little boy, and there's nobody in his life that went to church any more than I did. I was brought up in a Christian home. My parents were Christians. My dad was a minister ever since I could remember. And I was always taken to church, and I heard this over and over and over. It hasn't happened yet. And many of you have possibly heard it a lot more than I have. But don't sit back on your laurels and say, with the greatest of ease, I don't think it's going to happen. Don't kid yourself into sleep saying, I don't think it's going to happen. Everything's going to be all right. What did he say? In such an hour as you think not. If you would have known the thief was coming, you would have watched. How many of us, if we had known when that thief was coming, would not have watched? Many of us men would probably be sitting there with a shotgun to blow them away, get rid of them somehow. That's the theory of our thinking. But we don't know. And it's the same way with the return of Jesus Christ. We don't know when he's coming. We have the advance notice that he is. He is, and there's no doubt about it. He is coming. And we need to watch. In Thessalonians 5:2 that I read, Paul also describes coming as a thief in the night. Peter describes his coming as a thief in the night. So he's coming just as Jesus himself described as a thief in the night. My friends, the world cannot continue on. As we look at what's happening around the world today, as we look at all of the fires that are raging throughout the United States, as we look at all of the floods that are taking place all over the world, as we look at the starvation and the wars and the fightings that's going on, when we hear of the atrocities that are being carried out on mankind by kids 10, 11, and 12 years old, the world, my friends, is in terrible shape. And Jesus must come. I want to ask you one question this evening. What do you think Spanish Wells would be like? What do you think the Bahamas would be like if God would just to stay his hand for another 25 years and we have the rate of growth and everything else expanding with it as it has done in the last 25 years? Can you imagine yourself living at that time? I'll tell you something, it will be... It will be extremely difficult. And so Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, my friends. He's coming to rid this earth of all of this wildness, of everything that we see happening around us. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says this, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. And you might sit there tonight and say, well, if he's going to make that much noise, I'll hear it and get ready. Forget it. If you're not ready, you won't hear it. It's simple as that. No matter how loud the trumpet sounds, you're not going to hear it if you're not ready. Only those whose lives have been changed, only those whose hearts have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ will hear the sound of the trumpet. No one else will. No one else will hear it, so don't wait till that time to get ready. You won't be listening for it, my friend. You won't be listening if you're not ready. And it's going to happen so fast. Continues on in that verse of Scripture. It's going to happen, the Scripture says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's your eye. See how fast it moves. Fast. Extremely fast. When I was a little boy, and many of you can remember, we used to watch Superman on television. And they had this thing faster than a speeding bullet. Let me tell you something, my friends. The coming of Jesus Christ is nothing to compare. He's going to come in a moment. Instantly. Instantly. Faster than you can blink your eye. And the sad part about it all is it will be over. Oh, to me, as a minister of the Word of God, as I read His Word and as I go around, that's the sad part of it all. When the trumpet sound, the hymn writer says, and time shall be no more, it will all be over as far as his life is concerned. As far as getting right with God. Now, I know that there are those who believe that there will be many saved, and I believe that there will be others saved too. But I want to tell you something, my friends. I do not want to be here after Jesus takes his church out of this world. After Jesus takes his church out of this world, what is it to stem the flow of everything that's happening in our world now? When God's people is out of it, when righteousness and truth and holiness has been taken away, there is nothing. And those who do not go will face an awful tribulation. It will be over. That's why God wants us to be watching, thinking of Him, living for Him, keeping our eyes looking up, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. The Apostle Paul writes, do you know that the return of Jesus Christ is mentioned over 318 times in the New Testament? Over 318 times the return of Jesus Christ is mentioned. And God's Word, as I've already said, He doesn't lie. It's going to be a reality. I believe this evening, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to live expecting Him at any time. And I'll tell you something, and I believe this with all my heart. If we believe that He is coming, and we would live our lives expecting Him to come every day, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that we would live better lives for Jesus Christ. I believe that. Without a doubt that we would live better lives for Jesus Christ. Deeper than our hearts, we believe that today could be the day. That today could be the day. Because some of us are going to be ashamed at His coming, the Scripture says. Some of us are going to be ashamed that it's coming, because when He comes, we're not going to be expecting it. In the hour that we think not, we're going to be involved in something that as children of God, we should not be involved in. We should not be saying, we should not be doing. And He's going to come, and we're going to be ashamed that it's coming. Let's prepare our hearts so that we do not be ashamed. Let's live our lives as believers in Jesus Christ, expecting Him to come at any moment. And not get caught up in the things of life and be ashamed. For those of you who might be here in our midst this evening who know not Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it will be over for you when Jesus comes, if you're still alive. In an instant, it will all be through. The Bible says that two shall be together grinding at a mill, working. One shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be together sleeping in bed. One shall be taken and the other left. Children will have gone off to school. Parents at home. One shall be taken, the other left. Husbands and wives will be doing whatever they're doing throughout the day. One shall be taken, the other left. I challenge you tonight, if you're here without Jesus Christ, make it right with God. Make sure that you will not be the one that will be left behind. Make sure that it is right with God, that it is well with your soul. And you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. And you don't have that fear in your heart. I've known people that come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And one of the things that they've said is the fact that they could not sleep nights because they were afraid that Jesus would come and they would be left behind. I've heard young people say that they have gotten up out of their beds at night and gone and checked their parents' rooms to make sure that they were still there. Afraid that Jesus had come and had been left behind. I say this not tonight to frighten you, but I say this to have you face up to reality that it could happen at any time, at any moment. He's going to fulfill His word. He's going to come, He says, in such an hour as you think not. I said I'd get back to this. I want to ask you a question. How many people tonight do you think, living in Spanish Wells, in Abaco, throughout the Bahamas, right now, right this very moment, are thinking on the return of Jesus Christ? How many do you think? Not very many. I would venture to say that possibly more than 3/4 of the population of the Bahamas at this very moment does not have that thought of Jesus coming in their minds. We've allowed it, the possibilities of it, to slip beyond us. We don't like to think of it. Many of us don't like to preach about it, but we must. We must. It is a part of the plan of God. Just as there was a plan of salvation when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, where He shed His precious blood that you and I might be free from our sins, so the return of Jesus Christ is a part of the plan of God, where He should return for His church and take His children to be with Him throughout the countless ages of eternity. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, "There will be scoffers who walk after their own lust, saying, 'Where is He? Where is He? He has been coming since our forefathers. Where is He?'" But verse 9 of that same chapter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises." Remember that. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. I remember that from a child with my dad. If my sister and I did anything wrong, my mom would say, "Dad's coming home. He won't forget." And He didn't. There are probably many of you here tonight that can say the same thing. What do you think about God? God does not forget. He has made a promise that He is going to send His Son for His church, and it is going to be a reality someday. And the question tonight is, will you be a part of that reality? Will you be a part of that reality? or will you be left behind? I believe within my heart that is going to be the most terrible day that the world has ever known. The most terrible day that the world has ever known. There will be weeping and wailing, running to and fro, seeking loved ones and can't find them. We know even today within our hearts when there are loved ones that we can't locate or we don't know where they are or what's happening to them, we become panic-stricken. We don't know what to do. And oh, dear God, I can only picture what will happen in our world when this day will come. The panic that will take place. The wonderful part about it is that none of God's children will know anything about it. We will be home. We will be home. Home with God forevermore. But for those that will be left behind, it will be a sad and awful state. My dear friends, this evening, I know this is a difficult message. It's hard to swallow because we've heard it over and over again. But I felt deeply impressed tonight to minister this to you again. Because I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And I wouldn't want one of you, not one of you, to go into a lost eternity. To be left behind. Because when I read the 20th and 21st chapter of Revelations, or even chapters before then, of the tribulation that's going to come upon this world in which we live, I would not want my dog or my cat left behind. I would want all that I love to be with me, to spend the countless ages of eternity with Jesus in a place that He has provided for those that love Him, where the river of life flows by the tree of life. And we can sing that song the angels cannot sing. I've been redeemed by the blood of a lamb. Have you been redeemed to this evening? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, I beg of you tonight as I close, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you may come to find Him before it be too late. Accept Him as your Savior. Let Him change your heart and life. Let Him give you that hope and that assurance. And you can sleep tonight. You can pillow your head and rest assured that should He come tonight, you'll be, as the Apostle Paul said, absent from this life and present with the Lord. I trust that that's a desire and hope of every heart in this building tonight. For His name's sake, amen. I wonder if we can just bow our heads as we look to the Lord in prayer. Father, tonight we have spoken what You've laid on our hearts. We commit it to the Holy Spirit and we pray that You may take it and use it for Your honor and Your glory. Oh God, I pray that there be not one in this building tonight that will be left behind. When the trump of God shall sound and time shall be no more, I pray that every soul in this building will be called up to meet You as Lord and Savior of their lives. But Father, if there is one or more tonight, I pray that they might do something about it before this night is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we can sing in closing. Number 522, 522, the first and last stanzas only. Jesus is coming, sing the glad word, coming for those He redeemed by His blood, coming to reign as the glorified Lord. Jesus is coming again. First, fourth stanzas, the service will be over. Tonight, if you're here without Christ and you feel that He is speaking to you, remain where you are. I will walk to the door. If you'd like to talk with me or talk with someone else that can help you to find Jesus Christ, do it. Do it. It's in your best benefit. Not mine, not anyone else. Yours and yours alone. May God bless you. Let's stand as we sing 522, first and fourth stanzas only.